No permits required, no opening and closing times, as they are open all day. And that's not difficult as we have no night. Are the same people on duty all the time, then? Oh, dear, no, that would sound like eternal work instead of eternal rest. You could say truthfully that work is eternal, but the same people are not employed upon it in an eternal succession without personal remission. We have no division of night and day, but the work is carefully divided among the staffs so that can have their periods of change and recreation, and everybody is perfectly satisfied. Roger remarked that the buildings were of no very great height as judged by the usual earthly standards. Well, no, two stories of moderate height are sufficient here, as there are no problems of space limitations. We have to build upwards, we have unlimited room to spread ourselves, and the result, you must confess, is excellent. Roger expressed his unbounded delight with the beauty and charm of the whole creation with its broad thoroughfares of superb grass, the many flowerbeds and trees, the pools of crystal clear water that provided an exquisite setting for the many fine edifices that comprise the city itself. Doesn't it strike you as odd, Roger, that all this beauty, this superlative beauty, should be rather sneered at by so many of the uninstructed on earth? Doesn't the earth recede into something like dim insignificance beside all this splendor? Yet earth folk, a great many of them, regard their world as their world, by which all is judged, assessed, or appraised. The smoky, dirt, cities and towns of the earth are made the criterion, and this lovely city is treated by them with something that seems remarkably like contempt, if not ridicule. Ruth and I between us pointed out the purposes to which the various halls were devoted, and at length Roger expressed his desire to investigate the interior of the Hall of Engineering, which also included, 25, chemical research. We passed in, and were greeted by the man who is in charge of the myriad activities that are in constant performance. Why, Monsignor, said he, and Ruth, too. This is a pleasure, we've not seen you for a long time. What can I do for you? I explained our errand, and presented Roger to him. Of course you've come to the right place, my dear friend. It has become almost a tradition that the man in charge of each of these great halls will, in similar circumstances, say precisely the same thing. A justifiable pride. Perhaps of all the halls of learning, this, of engineering and chemistry, concerns the earth most closely, since it is here that so many of the earthly engineering and chemical discoveries have their origin. Many new substances are invented in the spirit world that are subsequently transmitted to people on earth for the benefit of all. As we passed from room to room, we could see chemists and their assistants experimenting with a variety of substances which in time will, when combined, form an entirely new product exactly fitted for its purpose. We were shown how, by synthesis, exact replicas of earthly materials were compounded, since it would be of no use whatever to invent a new substance of purely spirit material such would not could not have any application to earthly uses. The scientist on earth must use earthly materials, and the spirit world scientist must therefore work in a precise counterpart. It so often happens, our guide told us, that a mere hint to an earthly scientist is enough to set him upon the track of a dozen or more other discoveries. All that the scientists here are concerned with is the initial discovery, and in most cases the rest will follow. Here also were new substances to be used as building materials for houses or large edifices, and for many other types of building construction. New compounds were in process of being made that would eventually be converted into fabrics of all kinds, light and heavy, for personal clothing, for example, or for upholsteries in houses and homes. In the mechanical sections, old principles were being applied in new directions, to result in better and safer and more commodious means of transport, with greater comfort. Many inventions we saw, of all kinds, from some simple device for use in the home, to the large machine to be used in one industrial process or another. Life on Earth has become far too complex, and people are spending far too much time in purely material pursuits, usually to the exclusion of the spiritual. Life on Earth, therefore, must in the end become simpler, and in doing so will become more enjoyable. The spirit world has much to send to the earth to achieve thy end. But the earth world has first to put itself in good order. What is of major importance, the people of earth must learn to banish war from off its face, must learn not to turn to evil purposes that which waste transmitted to it for peaceful purposes. In the latter lies disaster, in the former lies happiness. It is for man himself to choose. 8. We visit a church. We had left the city and were walking along the edge of a wood when Roger, pointing into the distance, said, "That looks remarkably like a church." "It is a church," said Ruth. "But with a difference." "Would you care to go to inspect it?" I asked, and Roger answering in the affirmative, we turned in that direction. The church in question had all the appearance of its familiar country counterpart on Earth, excepting, of course, that of age. It had antiquity of form without showing the effects of the ravages of time, and there was now no occasion for us to tell the boy that physical decay, brought about by the elements and the passage of years, was a condition that did not exist in the spirit world. And though an edifice might look as it had been erected but yesterday, it may have been standing many hundreds of years. The church we were now visiting was no exception to the rule. In point of fact, I do not believe that, in the spirit world, there are any exceptions that are supposed to prove a rule. There were, however, other features about this church that Roger might have passed without realizing their full implication, and so, as we drew close to it, we asked him if he saw anything unusual about it. The lad had a very keen eye and was quick to seize upon the principal characteristic. "Yes," he observed. "The church has a familiar look about it, but its surroundings are so unusual that it almost makes the church itself look different." 26. "Good for you, Roger," I said. "You have only recently come from the earth, and so earthly things are still fresh in your mind, as it were. You can make comparisons with greater fineness." "The church you see here is a complete exemplification of what could be done on earth, if an effort were only to be made, in making the churches the things of real beauty in their externals. The whole of this has been built, including the fabric itself, to show exactly what can be done even in a limited space. As you can see, the territory round the building is spacious, but nevertheless, it has not been used to its full extent, so as to preserve, as nearly as possible, the customary conditions on Earth, where space is usually somewhat limited." As we drew near, we could see a low brick wall running irregularly round the church grounds in imitation of an earthly situation where other land rights encroached. The wall was trim and neat without being too plain and uninteresting. We passed through a lich gate, walking on a wide path that had been made of composite substance to give the appearance of asphalt, for in a matter of pure utility, a grass path would have soon worn threadbare under the tread of many feet, and our reproduction had to be exact. Flowers being in constant bloom in these lands, we had perforce to strike a compromise between what would be a general appearance in summer and that in winter. To do this, many evergreen trees and bushes were introduced, and the flowers were so planted that horticultural anachronisms were avoided as far as such bed was concerned. Some flower beds were left empty to suggest the extreme of winter when few, if any, flowering things are possible out of doors. Running along one side of the grounds was a small brook carefully confined to a straight course, and which had its source in a small cascade, while the sides of the brook itself were lined with flowers. Here and there were lily ponds, while the whole was encircled with many fine trees. In imagination, therefore, one could see the great possibilities of such an arrangement on Earth, making full allowance for the infinitely greater beauty of a spirit world counterpart. Such a scheme and its fulfillment are here, and could be emulated upon Earth with the removal of the unsightly and unnecessary burial grounds so often to be seen about church buildings, and so often nothing but a wilderness of weeds and neglect. Roger noticed at once the absence of a burial ground, to which so much importance is attached on Earth, nor could he see anything in the way of a notice board. "Truth told you there was a difference, you remember, Roger. There are differences within, as well as without. In truth, this is only a church in name and appearance, a sample of what could be done if Earthfolk had a mind to bring about a few alterations. It is only the outside, the surroundings, that we are offering as an example, for this is not a place of worship in the earthly sense. In other words, there are no services held here, though what takes place inside is really of more value than what goes on perennially in so many of the earthly churches. Still, we pursue that line of thought. Let us go inside. We found the building empty of people when we entered. It was a fair-sized structure built on the lines of a parish church, and as it was no church in the strict meaning of the word, there was much absent that would otherwise have been conspicuous, the font, for example, and the pulpit. But what struck Roger most forcibly was the absence of a high altar. The sanctuary itself remained the same, with the usual flights of steps leading up in a series of orders, to the highest, where there was a broad space upon which were a number row handsome chairs, the chief of which, placed in the center, being slightly more ornate than its fellows. Above them was a fine lancet window, containing some exquisite colored glass instead of the familiar religious pictures. The glass represented pleasant rustic scenes such as one sees depicted in tapestries and the like. On the wall immediately above the chairs were two inscriptions worked in mosaic, and placed side by side. Roger's attention was immediately attracted to these, and turning to me asked, "Why are those two beams of light coming down on the texts?" "They're not coming down, Roger, they're going up and out." The lad read the Latin inscription aloud, "Gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra pax hominibus boni voluntatis." "Correct, Roger. But if you will forgive me, your pronunciation of the Latin is appalling." "That was the way I was taught." He laughed. "Of course you were, my dear fellow. So was I, at first. That. Another example of the cult of the hideous on earth, the rule being, if possible, always choose the ugly. Come, Monsignor, things are altogether as bad as that." "Not far from it, then. You know what those words mean. If not, they've been conveniently translated for you. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will. Note the last, Roger. Different from what you are used to, perhaps, on earth. It's the better rendering, because I mean so much more. Peace, my dear boy, will never come to the folk of earth without there is goodwill first. If there were universal goodwill, there would be universal peace. If anyone doubts it, let it be tried. 27. The light you see might be going either way, might it not, but as it happens it is ascending. It came up in this way. This whole building with its gardens, was originally put up by the folk living hereabouts to serve as a pleasant place to receive the numerous teachers, and so on, who come from time to time from the higher realms to help us in a multitude of ways. Hence the chairs there, where the altar stone would normally be. The principal visitor will occupy the central chair, as you would guess, while the others would be taken by those who come with him. Look round you, and what do you see, or rather, what you see? Roger turned about him. No memorials on the walls. He enumerated. No religious pictures, no hymn board, no candles or other ornaments. In fact, it's just the empty shell of a church, but with comfortable chairs instead of hard pews. The side windows were also of colored glass, and the rays of light passing in upon both sides produced the most delicate rainbow tints that met and mingled. Those two texts that you see, were put there at the express wish of the folk who were responsible for the whole building. As with the rest of us here, they have a wholesome horror of war, the most detestable scourge that ever could assail the people of Earth. So they tried to think of some way in which to show their general concern, and at length they hit upon the scheme of taking that familiar quotation and emblazoning it upon the walls, right behind and above those high visitants when they are reseated there, and in full view of every person as soon as he enters. They had it worked in mosaic, exquisitely, as you can see, in those bright colors, and made of it a permanent prayer by their thoughts. That is what you see ascending in that light, and it is never allowed to grow weak or feeble. You will always find it bright and strong. An infinitely small drop, my dear fellow, in an immense ocean of good thoughts, powerful enough in its way, though not powerful enough to stop or prevent war. You will have seen by now, Roger, that in these lands nothing is left undone merely for want of trying. Whatever the outcome of any enterprise, however hopeless it may seem from the start, yet an attempt will be made. We have our failures, and we have our successes too. War, my boy, is a large subject, and not a cheerful one, especially to you who are sampling the delights of the spirit world. Ruth and I don't want to depress you. You won't do that, Monsignor. I like to know things, even if they are not too pleasant. At the west end of the building there was a deep narthex upon which was reposing a large organ. It was not an instrument of advanced design or construction, and the pipes were arranged in their conventional order. A nice instrument, Roger. Anyone who wishes is at liberty to play upon it. Come along upstairs and examine it, and perhaps Ruth will play us a tune. We mounted the stairs, and found ourselves in a wide gallery. There can be electricity here, so would you like me to pump for you, Ruth? Roger suggested. There's no need to do that, thank you, my dear, said Ruth. You right about our not having electricity. We v something much better. She pointed to a box-like receptacle on the floor a short distance from the organ. In there, said she, is all we require. All I have to do is set that little machine in motion, and the air is sent along the trunk to the instrument. Yes, but what makes the machine go? Thought, Roger, thought, that s all, answered Ruth with a smile. You know, you v hardly any notion it what thought can really do. No, I am beginning to realize that. Ruth seated herself at the manuals and played a short piece that had been specially composed for her Bjorn of our master musician friends. A light, frolicsome little work, rather in the nature of a scherzo. When the final note had sounded, Ruth left the organ seat, and taking Roger by the arm said, now come and see what we v done. We left the building, and observing Ruth and myself gazing upwards above the roof, Roger did the same and was astonished to see, high up over the building, a huge sphere like a bubble, gently rotating upon its axis. Its colors, a delicate blue and pink, interweaved themselves without losing their identity. We should move a little farther away, I said. Then Roger will see the full effect. At present we tree too much under it. We took up a position about a quarter of mile distant where the full effect was superb. To Roger it was somewhat awe-inspiring to see this apparently fragile form suspended in the air with no visible means of support. 28. All music, Roger, makes a form of some kind when it is performed, Ruth said. No matter what instrument it is played upon, though if I had played that piece on the piano, we should not have got such a large one as that. But we should have made a form, perhaps not as lovely. I've never played that piece on the piano, so I can say what exactly would have happened. It was written for the organ, where one can get sufficient volume and variety of tonal effect. It's very beautiful, isn't it? You know, Ruth, said Roger. That's more frightening, even, than anything I've seen so far, though frightening isn't what I mean really. No, old fellow, I know it isn't. I suppose awe-inspiring is the right term. It's a peculiar emotion, whatever one calls it. Ruth and I both felt the same when we first experienced it, and even now we've not entirely grown out of it. I don't believe we ever shall. I hope not. If we did fail to respond, there would be something wrong somewhere, and it wouldn't be the fault of the music. No, there's no question about it. We shall always feel some deep emotion whenever we hear and see music written by such masters as we have here, and their masters, Roger. The lad was looking at Ruth with something like deep admiration, a kind of heroine worship, one would say, that she should be able to achieve such a remarkable feat. For her part, Ruth was amused, and not a little touched by the lad's warmth of feeling, but she hastened to wave aside any credit to herself. What I've done is nothing, Roger. Anyone who can play can produce the same result. A mechanical instrument could do it, but no mechanical instrument could compose the music. The where the credit must go, to the composer. Did I understand you to say that a master musician wrote the piece specially for you? That is perfectly correct, Roger. Another surprise? It shouldn't be, you know. Because, if you come to think of it, all those famous composers who have died, must be somewhere, mustn't they? Yes, of course, the's rummy. I never thought of that. I remarked. I suppose that's because most folk regard musical composers as being only half human, if even that. That's why so many of them were half starved when they lived on Earth. When they left it, the people suddenly remembered them, and put up statues and monuments to them, and their work suddenly became very valuable. Things are a trifle better now on Earth, and a composer need not actually starve, but if he has written some really good things, they will be much more valuable after he's dead. At the present moment, the earthly geniuses are notable by their absence. The real geniuses are all here. U.V. had an example, this minute, of the real genius. Even without being able to see that piece, it is a delight merely to listen to it. How long will that ball remain there? Roger asked. Normally. Ruth told him. It would fade in a moment or so, but Monsignor and I put our thoughts together to charge it with a little more permanence so that you could see it in all its glory. When there are orchestral or other works following one another quickly, if the form stayed too long, they would all be mounted in a jumble on one another, and their shapes would be lost. A question of age. There's one thing that puzzles me, declared Roger. Only one thing? I queried. The lad is so good-natured that he never minds our mild bantering. We had returned to our house after our visit to the church and Ruth's brief organ recital, and were sitting comfortably in the downstairs room where Roger caught his first glimpse of the spirit world. What is it that puzzles you, my dear fellow? State your case, as the lawyers say, and perhaps Ruth or I can throw some light on the matter. Is this, how is it that everybody looks so young? I've not seen any old people anywhere. Yes, you have, Roger, but not in the way you mean, of course. If I am being too personal, Monsignor, tell me to mind my own business. But what would your age be? You need have no fear about being too personal, my dear boy, in this matter of ages. We are not the least touchy over here. Even Ruth won't mind your asking such a question, and as you may know, the women folk on Earth are sometimes a little sensitive on the subject. But here, no one cares, because one ceases to give the thing much thought. Still, it has its interesting side, especially to people like you and me, Roger. And Ruth, too, who like to look into things a bit. 29. Well, now, as to my age. When I came over here I was 43. And I've been here for 37 years. I know that because I have active interests in the old Earth, and so have kept track of the passage of time. So, then, A simple sum, and you have the answer. Dot good gracious. The boy exclaimed. Then you're 80. Dot just so dot a young man of 80. Dot but you don't dot t look anywhere near it. Dot I hope not. As a matter of fact, I scarcely look any different from what I appeared to be when I arrived here. A few alterations for the better, perhaps, but otherwise, no change. Dot and how old would you say I am, Roger? Ask truth. Dot careful, Roger. I interposed, but he would not venture a guess. Dot if you had said 100 it wouldn't dot t have upset me in the least. But I dot am not that yet. Put it at up to 62, and you dot ll be right. Dot you don't dot t look a minute older than about 25. Returned Roger. Dot which was just my age when I came here. Dot then what on earth age must I look? Dot hardly beyond an infant in arms. Laugh truth. No, Roger, you look the same as you looked on earth, as far as age goes. In health, of course, vastly different, at any rate from those last few days. Poor dear, you are a very ill Roger then, but the dot s no comparison now. Your mother would see in you now the lad she used to know. Dot you see how it is. I said. In the spirit world age in years docent dot t count. What happens is that the period known as the prime of life is the normal and permanent age. If one arrives here before that time, as you did and as many other do, even tiny infants, then you proceed gradually towards that prime of life, and there you remain. If you should come here after you dot v reached it dot one may have gone far past it into the 80s and higher dot then you revert, you return to the prime of life. In other words, you become younger. Dot that seems a sound idea. Dot it is a sound idea, but then all the ideas here are sound. We joined in laughter at our own condescending gap-proval of the spirit world. Dot still, Roger. I continued. For all our fun, the law that brings it about is a just one, and that dot s what you really meant. It dot s just in every way, for those who have passed the prescribed span on earth and for those who left it in early or very early infancy, or when they were your age, or Ruth dot s dot and if it comes to that, mine as well almost. Dot but I dot ll tell you one thing. You dot ll find it extremely difficult to guess a person dot s right age, which is to say, how long they have been in the spirit world, with the addition of the few years lived on earth. Dot the longer you dot v lived in these lands, the shorter does the earthly period seem to become by comparison. Take Radiant Wing, for example. You couldn't dot t possibly guess how long he has been here. Fu had a little more knowledge dot which, of course, will come to you as you go along. There would bestain indications that would help you in your guess. Dot no, I couldn't dot d fathom how long he dot s been here. He looks in his prime dot a young man. Yet when hesps, and when you look at him closely, you can see that, without appearing old or elderly in any way, there is something that suggests weight of knowledge, or something like that. Dot difficult to define, Roger, very. There dot s many an occasion, on seeing someone here, that you might say to yourself dot if you should ever be so disrespectful dot dot e dot s no chicken. But there would be nothing to indicate positive agedness in such outward signs as wrinkles and lines, and all the other familiar landmarks of passing, or past, years. How old would you say Radiant Wing is? Dot I can dot t hope to guess. Dot he dot s turned 600. Dot it's amazing, isn't dot d it? Dot not really. You remember Romaya is 2000 if he dot s a day. His Egyptian aid is even older dot in the region of 5000 years. What is it the psalmist says? Longitude in dirum replbo I will fill him with length of days. Dot this is an ageless world, Roger, and some of us, at any rate, would appear to be the same. No lined faces, no white or graying hair, no suggestions of that additional weight with which in earth we manage to burden ourselves, or on the other hand, no indications of shriveling up and wasting away, no slowing down of our movements, or alterations in the pitch of our voices, no loss of mental vigor, no second childhood,